This episode of Film Sack is brought to you by the Texas Beard Company.
We love the Texas Beard Company.
You have a beard? Is it sweet? Is it not so sweet? Either way, do you want to take better care of it? You have a Gandalf-style beard? Or a little teeny one? Well, tell you about this much. I like Texas Beard Company because they've got four manly scents. Take care of your beard. Save some money, too. Use the code FILMSACK at checkout for 20% off your entire order. And as always, free shipping to anywhere in the States with orders over $25. That's texasbeard.com. Go there now and use the code FILMSACK. Thanks, Texas Beard.
Well, be sick on your own time, Mr. Manley. Now, I want close-ups of every specimen and coverage of the surrounding rainforest and tepuis.
What?
Tepui. It's an Indian word for mountain, a place where species have survived in isolation for millions of years.
Oh, any man-eating dinosaurs?
Only Atherton. You're in luck. We're hitting a brand new one today.
Oh, great. Anybody ever get lost?
Legend says that men who climb to the rain desert never return. But don't worry, we small game hunters don't climb.
Tear out bad wood, put in good wood. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 231. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm joined tonight by Brian Toilet Spider Dunaway.
Ah, I have good news and bad news. Uh-oh. Would you like to hear them in asynchronous order?
Yes.
All right. It's 1990 and the Miami Dolphins are heading to the playoffs. Also, I touched a frog in the Amazon and now I have a multi-pulsating sack. I'm not sure where the good news is and all of that. Tapui.
Also with us, Randy, he almost died from wine bottles, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Brian.
Hi. Don't know if I've ever told you about the winter break. I got a job as an exterminator.
No.
True story. I quickly learned the three key tactics for getting rid of any pests and being a successful exterminator. One, you don't have to actually exterminate the pests, at least not on the first try. Two, you don't have to get the job done on the second try either. And three, liquid nitrogen. So much liquid nitrogen.
Isn't that cool?
Is that what that was? I thought it was acid spray or something.
Like acid. Well, it's supposed to be acid, but yeah, it's,
okay.
It's what they use.
Clearly. And finally with us, Brian Popcorn Spider Ibbit.
So, did I ever mention some of my extended family? Oh, we don't all work as groundskeepers in golf course country clubs, you know. I've got a brother who's a DJ in Pacoima, California. He plays an all 70s rock and roll show on weekends for directors with foot fetishes. How about a little something for the effort? And then I've got a cousin in Canaima who's an exterminator. Nice guy, but he has this weird vocal inflection. Some people he say sounds just like me, but I don't hear it.
Oh my gosh.
That was great.
That was really good.
For Ibbit. That was thoughtful.
Brian Ibbitt's here, so we got that going for us,
which is nice.
Which is nice.
So that was really obvious to me that he was doing that.
She's
thing.
She's channeling, yeah.
Yeah. For I mean, I okay. So we talked last week. I think a couple of us had seen this. I think the Bryans had seen this before, right?
Yeah, I saw this at the theater.
Okay,
yeah, I did too.
I have not seen it. Randy
with the J last name have not seen it.
Yeah, I have not seen it, and had no expectation other than a reminder as to why I didn't see it. I didn't see it because I'm really the spiders. That's where I have trouble. Not a fan.
Yeah. Isn't that like the second biggest fear after like heights or something?
Is it? I wonder. That's interesting. We should
public
look.
What?
We should look that up.
I actually have a list of common phobias. We'll get to it later.
Okay, good. I want to talk about that.
I'm afraid of that list.
Yeah.
List of phobia.
Although, okay, so I'll say I feel like early on, Jeff Daniels was sort of channeling my fear, but then pretty quickly he was way too brave for a guy with paralyzing spider.
Right.
Stuff.
Yes.
Arachnophobia, which I have for years called anacrophobia. But anyway,
yeah, he's certainly for the next to last act, he's a lot braver than he is in the last act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Did he reach that I've had enough stage that overrides the fear? Was that kind of the thing they were going
to? That's an early trope alert.
Oh, holy shmoo, here.
That's it right there. I've had enough. I'm not taking it anymore.
Yeah.
That's it. You brewing my wine bottles? We're going.
But keep the Chardonnay or whatever the hell he said. I forgot.
The Chateau.
Chateau. I don't like hearing that word ever said. I don't like the term Chateau. I know it's a real thing. Like Chateau Le Blanc or whatever. I don't like hearing it.
You and I differ. I think the word Chateau is lovely, and I've always wanted to go to France and tour and see different chateaux.
It has two in the name. I agree with Scott. I want to be drinking anything with a two in it.
Tuscany, because there are no more villas available.
Right.
No villas in Tuscany.
It's all chateaus. I hate that. I don't know why it sounds. Just sounds like, you know, some words, they sound bad coming out. That one.
How do you feel
bad
about chapeau?
I'm all right with that one. Chauffeur, I'm okay with.
Okay.
Chat you get chateau toe by combining the words chat and toe.
Right.
Yeah.
So
chat
shat
and toe.
Scott's going with this.
Shit toe.
Shit toe. Yeah. Shit toe. There you go. So anyway, there you go. That's your movie. It's arachnophobia.
No,
sorry.
It isn't. You haven't played Scott Fletcher.
Oh, I'll play that now. Anachrophobia, by the way, is an actual phobia, but it's fake. It's fictional, and it was part of the BBC Doctor Who. It was actually in a book first. I don't know if it ever made it to the show, but it was a fictional phobia. Described as the fear of temporal displacement or being unstuck in time.
Wow. Which some people had to Google that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I had to, because when I was looking for the movie, I couldn't find it. I'm like, what is going on? And what's with all this Doctor Who stuff?
Why am I in Doctor Whoville?
So I've been saying it wrong. And I knew they're arachnids. I knew they weren't anachrids. Like, I knew that. But for some reason, anachrophobia is how I've always said it.
Or anachroid is.
Yes. Dan Anachroyd? Yeah.
Dan Anachroyd.
You know what? One other thing I'll say before I play Fletcher. I always thought this was Eight-Legged Freaks. I got the movies completely mixed up, and both times I didn't want to see it because I hate spiders. But
that's actually kind of funny, because when Tina said, oh, what are we watching? And I said, oh, Arachnophobia. She said, oh, I like David Arquette.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay, well, I like him too, but you're not going to see him.
Yeah. In fact, I was a little disappointed because everything's these tiny spiders. I'm like, wait.
You're not going to see Patricia Arquette? You're not going to see Roseanne Arquette?
Yeah. Right. The biggest spider in this movie is the size of a Pekingese or something. It's too small. And I was kind of disappointed, but then I wasn't. And then we'll talk about that in a minute. Scott Fletcher explains more.
Arachnophobia. Dr. Jennings realizes people start dropping dead all around him, and the killer might be a rare arachnid imported in a coffin from Venezuela.
A rare anachnid. Well, that's hard to say.
See? I told you.
Pick that.
A rare arachnid is what you're supposed to say, not a rare anachrid. Anyway, anachrid is also my favorite ancillary Harry Potter character. He was great. Fantastic
Anachrid
work.
Yeah. It was my owl Anachrid here to deliver a message.
See? Rolls right off.
It really does. Tongue.
So directed by Frank Marshall, known primarily for being a very successful
Penny Marshall?
Well, I don't know, are they? Very successful producer in Hollywood. Right. More so than director, but it's not the first time we've seen him. He did Congo, which I think is basically this movie. In some very distinct ways, which we'll get to.
I can see that.
Congo's worse. Don't get me wrong. I think this is a better movie than Congo, but it's kind of the same. Like, who was...
Oh, lava tubes.
When you had... Remember the intro of that movie had... what's
Bruce
his
Campbell.
Name? Bruce Campbell out there being the Mr. Everyman. I'm a fish out of water in this forest, and ends up eating it, right?
Right,
this movie
right.
had that same character, basically, in that one actor everyone hates.
Manly.
Stuart Penkin.
Yep, that guy.
You hate him?
Horrible.
I don't
hate everybody
you
hates
hate
him.
Stuart Penkin.
He's meant to be hated, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's a by design.
He always plays the same little nebbish, squirrely little, you know.
Yeah, cheatery little bastard.
But that's not something you hate.
It's not.
Hate him. I thought he was all right. He didn't annoy me too much.
No, in this movie, his character is totally fine.
Yeah, he's all right.
Scott's saying that he usually plays
in general.
Either
even more trollish.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy that if there was a hostage situation, he would make a deal with the hostage takers and screw everybody else.
Yes.
I'm sorry, not Stuart Penkin. Stuart Penkin was the cop that everybody hates.
Now I do hate Lloyd. Lloyd, I do hate.
Of course you do. He's evil.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Both those guys are in tons of things. Like you're.
Yes.
It's shocking how many things you've seen with them both in it.
Mark Taylor. That's it.
Mark Taylor.
Taylor.
Yeah. Who's old? A lot older and a lot different now looking. But
well, that's what happens when you get old, Scott.
I went down a Mark Taylor rabbit hole the other day.
This movie.
How did you do that? Inner Space? What else did you get to see?
Let's see. Well, I didn't watch a bunch of movies or anything. I just all I did, I was just like tracking down all his TV appearances and going, oh yeah, he's that he's the accountant that found the anomaly and tried to go to the cops and they whacked him before he could get there. Or he you know, always, he's always that right? guy.
I always think he's the guy from Stargate. I always think he's the iris keeper. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the guy nerd?
Control in the control room.
Oh, that guy.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no. You're the one that's always doing the bidding of the bald colonel dude. Yeah, the colonel's always telling him to shut the iris.
Right.
And he looks a lot like that guy. Right. He may be one of our Trek connections. I forgot to look.
Ooh, that would be nice.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me because he was totally in so many things. And it's funny. He was in Harry and the Hendersons, which we've seen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Inner Space, which we haven't seen yet.
Right.
But we want to see
Star Trek Next Generation, but we'll probably find that out later.
Yeah,
there it is. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. I knew that there was something else kind of in that same. Mm-hmm. You can put this movie, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and Harry and the Hendersons all on the same DVD triple pack.
Yes.
Like the early 90s triple pack.
It's like, I could go get it
right
probably
now. Even share the same soundtrack.
Yeah. If I walked over to Target right now, $7.99, that pack is mine.
Okay, so other movies we've seen on Film Sack that this movie made you think of.
Yeah.
Amityville Horror.
Yeah, totally.
Hellraiser.
Really?
Hellraiser and Amityville were a little bit more, they were more edgy. This thing had some Disney music and John Goodman in it.
Oh, no, absolutely.
It's a Disney movie.
Well, no, yeah. I know. It's Touchstone. But what I mean is...
it's not Touchstone. Yeah, it is. Hollywood Pictures.
Hollywood Pictures, right.
Hollywood Pictures, which is Disney's...
No, you're right. You're totally right. You're totally right. But my point being that tonally, this movie's nothing like those. But Randy's, you're saying that's not your point. You mean there's...
Right. My point is, okay, so first of all, we have the house that you move into.
Yeah.
The house has... problems that are coming with it, but you don't know that at the time.
Sure.
You are a young couple, young white couple. Amityville Horror, I guess they had kids, but you don't have to have kids. Let's see. It's also like Children of the Corn.
Yeah.
And Funny Farm, which we need to watch.
Funny Farm is a... I actually wrote down Funny Farm when I was watching this movie.
House.
House, very good.
Like... It's almost like the whole movie is a trope. Like they took elements of other movies to stitch it together.
I agree.
Kind of got a Doc Hollywood.
I totally thought the same thing. It's big city man right. coming to little town.
And everybody hates him because the big city man came from
look
the
at big,
big
city.
City
man.
Well, and also because of the jerk ass. But I just wanted to also jerk say, ass. The jerk ass in town is the old doctor.
Oh. Okay. I got you.
The movie starts by borrowing from things like Jewel of the Nile and Indiana Jones.
Very much so.
Yes.
It even goes so far as to have like, oh, this trope I absolutely love. Give me a trope alert.
Oh, it's a good one. I know where you're going.
It starts with the ancient wisdom that you didn't listen to. Mm-hmm. The native won't go any farther than this.
Yeah, I had that one written down. Totally.
Oh, man. What are you doing going any farther than the native?
Yep. Yep.
Natives are so stupid.
The natives always know. The Sherpa is it's always a Sherpa. It's like, you're not going that high because over there is a haunted part of the peak or whatever. Like, they know because the ancient thing tells them, and this is as far as we go. White man go by himself. That happens in all these movies.
See you, white man.
Now, this guy.
My God will not let us travel any further.
Frank Marshall, very famous for movies like that, but in a production role. He produced all three of the four of the Indiana Jones movies and the new one that's being made, whatever it is.
Indy Jam Jones. I love him.
Oh, Indy Jam Jones.
Can I finish that story for you, by the
way?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Frank Marshall's married to Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah.
He and Kathleen Kennedy, along with Steven Spielberg, are the three thirds that founded Amblin Entertainment.
Correct.
Yes.
He is a big whoop.
At the top of this, you saw it.
He is a big, huge whoop. Now, not only is he like all over everything, including all the Jurassic Parks. I mean, every big movie you can think of that has huge money attached to it. The Bourne movies. Freaking, oh gosh, this list is huge.
And this, was his
this
first,
is kind of disgusting.
Directing
movie. Yeah. Well. Yes. First.
Yes,
you're right.
His first directing.
You're right. Yeah. Congo came later, which is weird because I think Congo's so much more amateurish seeming to me. But this one is. This is fine for its time. I think this was actually okay. Well, I guess I should just say, it scared the shit out of me.
Did it scare the shabby or did it make you jump a lot?
It made me jump a lot. Moments, yes. Sure. I don't mean it gave me filled me with horror, existential horror. I mean it.
I didn't mean it filled my pants literally full of poop. I mean
that when that thing jumped through the little tube that he was trying to torch and then waited forever and then it came out, I squealed.
Me too. I jumped. I almost threw my computer across the room and I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Well, let's go around with the question. Do you feel like this movie's intention was primarily to make you smile or primarily to make you scared?
It's like a roller coaster ride. It makes you jump and it scares you, but it's a funny jump. It's like,
it's like Poltergeist for me. Poltergeist is the same thing.
The Frighteners, maybe.
Frighteners, great example. Yep.
Yeah, where it's like, we're going to scare you, but this movie's got enough laughs that, you know, it's going to be nervous laughter while you're waiting for the next thing to jump out at you.
Yep, I totally agree with that comparison because that's kind of how I felt this entire time. We did that on this show, very similar vibe to it. But it is that kind of Gremlins is another good example.
Yeah, yeah.
Scary Tremors. And kind of
Tremors, yeah.
Tremors, yeah. I think this is a kind of thing no one makes anymore, to be honest. Who's making these now?
There was Piranha 3D 4 years ago.
Yeah,
but that was laughable even at that point. We took Arachnophobia kind of serious back in the 90s when this first came out. Mm. I remember it kind of being, it was kind of scary, but a little bit funny, whereas like Piranha 3D is just like, that's total camp.
Piranha 3, the problem with Piranha 3 is they go so far on the stuff that would keep, you know, a bunch of 12-year-old kids out. Although maybe if a 12-year-old kid really wanted to see it, they could. But these felt like the movies we've all mentioned before this, including Gremlins, was like the whole family could go to see this, and the parents are going to be, whoa, that's kind of shocking. The kids are going to be like, yeah, that's totally gross in the microwave. But then there's a happy moment, and then the music's kind of jaunty, and then it's gross again. And, you know, like it kind of, you could make it work in that.
But you're saying 25, 30 years ago, things were different.
Yeah,
like,
I guess
Piranha 3D of 2010 is the Arachnophobia of 89.
Yeah,
as far as I'm concerned, in terms of what's acceptable, what you want, what kids are able to see.
I think it's a difference of the directors, the filmmakers want you to laugh with them or laugh at them. Like, I think Piranha 3D is like, look how cheesy and campy we can be. Laugh at us. Whereas, oh, look at these characters. I mean, you know, they're turning off their phone because Wheel of Fortune's on. And, oh, Bill, you know, John Goodman, so damn funny. And whereas Piranha 3D, I think, is more like a, hey, we're going to play this seriously, but we know that it's cheesy and campy, and that's what we want you to laugh at.
Plus, Piranha 3 has a gross out factor that they really want to play with. They want to have, you know,
pieces floating in the water.
And yeah, or that girl. There's a topless girl who's running, and one of the metal wires that's holding like the mast of a boat together flips and snaps real hard and literally slices her torso in half while she's running. Like it's super to that nth degree. Whereas these movies weren't trying to do that. They weren't trying to push that envelope so much. Mm-hmm. They were just like jump scares and funny Goodman and then kind of gross and then not funny so gross. Goodman. And if anything, an Arachnophobia, I mean, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like it may be one of the last of these. Were there any others of note that was like Anaconda's kind of like this?
I feel like the thing you're talking about is where somebody has a spider in their shoe and they don't know it and they put the foot in the shoe.
Yeah.
And then they have to act as though there's actually a spider biting them, but you're not seeing the spider biting them. Like that's the sort of thing that feels old about this movie.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Jaws kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where less is more.
And it's really like Scream did some of that after this, but Scream was a send up of this sort of thing. So I don't know.
I think like Piranha 3D, I don't have any innate fear of piranhas because I'm never going to encounter a piranha. Whereas like spiders, anyone can encounter a spider. To be that deadly, probably not, but it could happen. I think these movies kind of morphed into more like the Contagion kind of movie, whereas it's kind of like maybe you're afraid of something that's still possible and can still happen to you. And maybe those kind of movies are more what's happening now.
Yeah.
Where we have more of a fear of maybe hypochondriac.
We've had a lot of those monster type movies that do that, but has there been one that is a contagion, like a virus that spreads that's kind of intentionally funny. I'm not talking about The Happening, but like it's intentionally.
The Happening is great.
Do you think
the tree's trying to kill us?
Yeah, what's
ready?
Going on?
Scott, are you ready for the 10 most common phobias?
I'm ready. Hold on. I want to have a theme. I want a theme for that. Okay. So let's find something that has the word 10 in it. Okay, here we go. All right. How about this? Oh, that's not it. Well, here, this will work.
Give me a bartender for all we know.
All right, there you go.
10 in the word bartender.
Yeah, there
fine.
You go. Got it. Sure. Nailed
we're
it.
We're going to go from the 10th most common phobia.
Oh, wait, I found a better one.
10,000 doubloons.
Nope, that's no good either. All right, go ahead.
Okay, close so enough. we're going from 10 down to 1. Number 10, the fear one. Of germs or dirt.
Oh, sure. The Howie Mandel disease.
Sure. Yep. Germophobia.
Right. It's actually called mesophobia.
All right.
I'm not going to name them all because some of them you wouldn't recognize the name. So number 9, the fear of flying, being in a plane.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Okay, yeah. Not just
I thought
the
you meant
fear
independently,
of pooping on a plane.
Right.
But.
I thought you meant independently flying. Not, you mean like in a plane.
Number 8, the fear of social situations. This would be being around people, being expected to talk, et cetera.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Number 7, fear of injections. Needles.
Oh, like needles, okay.
Yep. There really not many movies based on that, huh?
Mm. Not really, no.
Number 6 surprises me how high it is on the list. The fear of thunder and lightning is apparently a common one. Maybe in other cultures, other parts of the world more than where we are.
All right.
Number 5 is the fear of dogs.
Okay.
That's a good fear. Cujo disease.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a movie for you. Yeah, I should have found some movies for each of these examples. Number 4 is agoraphobia.
Okay.
Which is specifically, Scott and I have debated what that means, by the way. I'm just remembering it.
Have we done that? I don't remember.
It's specifically the fear of situations in which escape is difficult.
I thought agoraphobia is wide open spaces. No.
No, it's the fear of being in a situation from which you can't easily escape.
Okay.
I thought that was fear of Walmart.
I have those, by the way.
Is that like the confinement though? I mean, it's basically, fear of tight enclosed places, right?
Sort of.
It's not claustrophobia.
Or it can also
claustrophobia. That's right. Yeah.
It can also be fear of open spaces, but they have to be so big that you can't get out of them.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah, the getting out of it part is the aspect I can relate to. That I think I have this one to some degree. I will go into a place where I'll notice, ooh, there aren't very many windows, and there's only one door in here, and this is like a warehouse full of stuff that could burn. I start thinking about how I'm going to get out of there if shit goes bad.
A long time ago on Extra Life Radio, Scott and I got into agoraphobia, and he described enough of it that it's clear it's still a part of your life.
Yeah.
I hate it. Okay, so number 3 is acrophobia, the fear of heights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now remember, we're getting more common here, and this is just weird to me. Numbers 2 and 1 are the fear of snakes and the fear of spiders. Number 1 most common fear of spiders.
All right.
Fear of spiders. There you go.
Fear of speaking, I thought, would have been higher. Maybe there isn't a specific definition for that, because maybe they lump social situations into that.
And again, we're talking about, across the whole human population, a lot of cultures, social situations are more built in from childhood, and people are more comfortable being in crowds.
I don't think people, plus not everybody has to public speak. I mean, it's not a foregone conclusion that if you walk out of your house today that you will have to do some public speaking, whereas there's a very good chance that there could be a spider involved in your day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And by the way, snakes and spiders can combine several of the other fears, right? Like if you have a fear
of
needles.
It's a wide open snake.
It's a wide open snake. I can't get out of here.
Ah! There's no escape from the bite-open snake.
If you have a fear of needles, you probably have a fear of snakes.
Oh my God, that spider's up so high.
This snake is giving me shots. I don't like it.
Spiders weren't meant to fly. Yeah, I could see how that could all get a little crazy. But the specific fear of spiders, I guess I have it, but only in the sense that they're just gross, dude. Like, I don't sit around thinking about them all the time or making sure there's none anywhere anytime I'm around. But the minute I see them, like, oh, gross. And I've got friends that'll just pick them up on their fingers and go, no, they're fine. Look, it crawl around you.
They're more afraid of you than you are of them.
Yeah, that whole thing.
Bullshit.
That is so bullshit.
I think during our list, we also answered the question, was this the last movie of this type? No, Snakes on a Plane.
Sure, sure.
Oh,
very much in this vein.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's totally this, isn't it? The same idea. Are there other? I mean, that's the other thing. I can't think of anything else, though. Like, nothing's just jumping to mind. I'm sure people are right now yelling at their device saying,
don't stop yelling at your device.
You forgot about
email her. Us.
Yeah, tell us. Just email us and let us know. So all I'm arguing is that because it's not prominent, though, or else we would have 12 examples, maybe these are going to make a comeback. Maybe Sharknado's it. Maybe that's as far as we get. And maybe that's too bad because maybe we could do better than that, you know?
Well, like, you know, Asylum is making it. They're now considered trashy cheap films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
Have you ever been anything else? I would argue that a movie like Arachnophobia with, you know, with Jeff Daniels and it's not entirely cheesy plot was intended to be seen at the movie theater, intended mm-hmm. to do well at the movie theater.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I meant it was Asylum. They didn't have anything to do with this.
No, with this.
No. Uh-huh.
No, but just in general, they're the ones making, you know, Jurassic Park comes out, so then they go make one about a giant chicken or
right. Jurassic Jark
yeah.
would be theirs.
I mean, yeah, they're the
park from the Jurassic era.
They're the Atlantic Rim people, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Transmorphers.
Yeah, Transmorphers.
I'm sure I'm sure they thought about a movie called Arachnophilia or something.
Yeah, even better. Arachnophobia. Well, anyway, Frank Marshall, it's stunning how much he's had his hand in so many big things. Not just everything Spielberg's ever done, which is true, including animation offshoots, like the Fievel movies and all that stuff. But everything mm-hmm. that you think you've ever maybe seen or that was a huge blockbuster movie, this guy did. Yeah, and I feel like there's a piece of this is that during his incredible career, which he was already in the thick of when this movie was made, the guy just said, I feel like directing something. It's odd to me. Like, he still had like a feeling of, yeah, I wonder if I could get behind the camera on something. Like, that to me is a sign of a guy who's not content just to own the world, because he basically owns the world.
Yeah.
And decided to go ahead and make a few movies. And let's see, I was going to look at his total directorials here. I mean, his production thing goes on for years.
Oh, geez. Yeah, 105 credits.
Director, he did.
And he's currently working on two Bourne sequels, one with Jeremy Renner and one for Matt Damon, both scheduled for 2016.
Yeah, yeah.
That's weird.
Back-to-back business there. I think that's the one where they bring him together.
The Bourne parallel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you got Renner and what's his name getting back together. But
this is listed as two separate movies.
So. Are they both Renners? Are they both?
Damon Bourne sequel, and the other one's a Jeremy Renner Bourne sequel.
I'll bet you there's some crossover.
Sure.
It'd be cool if
like a picture of Matt Damon on a desk somewhere. Oh yeah, that happened last time.
Yeah. It did happen.
You know, it'd be awesome if they could do the whole thing like John Hughes did with Kevin Bacon. In Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, because mm-hmm. you're almost thinking that could be the character that Kevin Bacon was playing at the same time, and she's having a baby, mm-hmm. and having these parallel paths that these two characters travel, that the two movies take place at exactly the same time.
Yeah,
that would be a cool.
That would be pretty cool. Except she was watching. Remember, Steve Martin's wife was at home watching. She's having a baby on the TV mm-hmm. in her bedroom. That was the
what?
Other. That,
really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. You can hear it back. You can hear it in the background where.
Maybe
Kevin
she
Bacon's
was watching
yelling.
Footage from the neighbors who are having a baby.
See? He caught that flight back to Chicago. It's all
that's
making
right,
sense.
Exactly. He just came in from Shermer.
He went on the very next year, his next project, I should say, in 93, to make Alive, a movie I think is really good. It's about the true story of those cannibal soccer players.
Oh, yeah.
I guess they're cannibal. Cannibals.
I don't think they were actually cannibal soccer players. I think they got in a situation where they had to be cannibals.
That left a big...
However, I do like your idea that somebody would assemble a team mm-hmm. of soccer players who were also cannibals.
Had a big impact on me, that movie. I really liked it.
I love that movie. That was a great movie.
Thought it was great. Thought it was super intense. Hard-hitting. And then he went and made Congo, and I went, ooh, this is bad. This is not good right here. And I don't know anything about Eight Below, which is the only other film he made.
Oh, yeah.
What was that? Oh!
Paul
Walker dog movie.
Yeah.
That's right. That was the white guy version of the Cuba Gooding Jr. one that got made. I don't remember what that was called either.
It's called Snow Dogs.
Snow Dogs. That's
Snow
it.
Snow Dogs. Yes. That's right. He was in, what was he in Alaska, and he was a doctor. So what was it about? It was so stupid.
And that was one of the things that I was looking for this last week, Snow Dogs, hoping that it was streaming because our recommendal this week is to come up with a movie that basically ruined someone's career.
Nice.
And you go from Jerry Maguire to Snow Dogs, and you're next up is that Jane Lynch game show thing that's on.
Oh gosh, right, because that's what
Hollywood Game Night.
Hollywood Game Night, exactly.
I haven't seen that poor thing.
Oh, it's great.
Is it?
Yes, Hollywood Game Night is so much fun.
All right.
It's like Battle of the Frog Pants All-Stars, but not as funny.
But yeah. No, what's great about Hollywood Game Night is that they do a, you know, sort of free-for-all game show, and then they edit it down so tight that people actually come across as funny.
Does it work? I mean, you think they're funny by the end?
Yeah, it works great. And it's and it's a really like strange assortment of pseudo celebrities every single week. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have like Tim Gunn sitting next to Courtney Cox, sitting next to
Courtney, I love your hairdo.
Hello, designers.
Hello, designers. Sorry. I love that guy.
Just saying, it's that sort of thing. Well, and also, Jane Lynch is so freaking funny.
Is she?
Yeah, she is.
All right. I like her in movies. I really hate Glee.
I hate Glee. No, no kidding. I can't believe it. It's hard to believe.
Leaves a burning.
Hey, you know what's
burning a trope? Oh, you got a trope? Hold on. Hold on. I want to click this button here. Hold on. Here you go.
Hey, man. Every time. Eating a sandwich when handling dead bodies.
TV. I love that trope.
Movies. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that trope.
I like that actor, too, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do, too. Yeah.
Total Recall?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the Total Recall guy.
Oh, yeah.
the autopsy sandwich is always my favorite.
Well, he had a bag of chips or something.
Yeah, he pulls a bag of chips in there later. It was so fun. He just comes walking in, munching on chips, the dead bodies walk.
I also have a clip later that proves that he's the dumbest guy in town, but we'll get to that later. He's the dumbest guy in that town.
Dumber than dumber than Jeff Daniels?
Dumber than even dumb Jeff Daniels, who's pretty dumb in this.
Who's the meanest guy in town? I think it's debatable.
It's supposed to be the doctor.
Oh,
but
it could be the doctor. Yeah,
I'd say cop. I'd vote cop. But it's supposed to be the doctor.
The doctor is such a jerk ass.
Yeah, he's a dick. He's basically throwing Jeff Daniels under the bus for people dying.
Yeah,
I'm with you, doctor.
It was funny watching him hold his foot on the bed and then die while the marble rye lady from Seinfeld couldn't know what to do.
At the same time, the coroner, the morgue guy from Total Recall, man, he and his much younger wife are snuggling later, watching TV. That was so cute.
Oh, that's Mimi?
Mimi from the show. Yeah, it was so cute.
Yeah.
I loved that scene.
Now, how did he die? So here's my prediction, okay?
Eating too many cookies.
There was a spider in the popcorn.
No, I know, but she grabbed it. I assume she ate it, then leaned over to kiss him. The spider bit her, left her cleft palate, went out of her mouth, got into his. That's where
I'd actually thought about it myself. How did that actually, you know, happen? Because she would probably scream, you know, and it probably bit her on the hand, and then it jumped because these spiders were super jumpy. These were like jumping spiders.
Just talking about it now, it just makes me so gross.
Can we go around the table? I have a question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go.
All right. Which of the spider bite deaths, as depicted in this movie, is the one that you are the most afraid of? The one that gives you the real life willies.
Oh God. They're all like, you know, the dropping as you're trying to turn the light switch off and it just drops on your hand.
Yeah.
Or the reaching. I mean, anything in food is.
It's the hand in the popcorn for me.
Oh, it's so scary. But
Without a doubt.
Okay, but what about the toilet?
The toilet's not so bad.
The toilet never, the toilet never happened. But I would definitely say the toilet because I check every time.
If I'm going to be checking, I forgot to mention this. So a few days ago, this is before I saw the movie, but a few days ago, I'm in the can and I noticed there's a spider in there.
No, and don't say this.
It's under the seat, and then I get a phone call, and I get on that phone call, I'm thinking I'll come back to this. I come back there to do it. Doors shut, and I'm like, uh-oh. Hello? Oh, hey, hun, it's fine. Don't worry. I'll just take care of when you get out. Okay. And then Kim's in there. She goes. She comes out.
Did you tell her?
She's been on the can. I still haven't told her.
Oh, my God.
Because when she left, I went and checked the toilet again. Underneath the rim, spider.
No.
I know, and I'm afraid to tell her.
How dare you?
I can't tell her now. Like, you sat there, and there was a spider the whole time. Surprise. Like,
how dare you?
I know. I feel like this is before
or after you watch Arachnophobia?
This is a better plot than that whole movie had, was how I'm going to get out of this, because I feel like I should just never say anything. Like,
yes, you take this to your grave.
I should take it to my grave, because she sat there not knowing and there was a spider there the whole time. Oh my gosh. Just thinking about it now. But for me, it's anything where I grab it, it's on my hand or it's in my food. That's when I'm done. That's when I'm check out.
Right. So I've actually had halfway eaten a bug from like a box of cereal before.
Ugh.
Just, you know, digging in there. So I think that might be the worst, because pulling out a bug out of cereal, but not seeing it, even a bigger fear.
That's even worse. Like knowing that there was a bag of Doritos open all night and your roommate left it open, and knowing that something may be that entire exchange of thoughts is enough for me to just check out
so,
in life.
So here's a follow-up question I have. For me, by the way, it was the,
old man in the
shoe.
It
was the spider in the shoe for some reason. That
oh,
just
really?
Got
me. Wow. Okay.
Ooh. Like,
because really, spider in the shoes.
I don't like that either, though.
Because you put on your shoes all the time and you never think to look in there.
It's anything with your face. Like the helmet kid was bad, too.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. Gosh.
Okay.
I'm not as afraid of the shoe, because usually I put my foot in there pretty forcefully. And so I'm like, anything in there? It's dead.
I think you know what it is. I know what it is. I think the reason I'm afraid of this, of something getting trapped somewhere where I can't do anything about it in your mouth or your clothes or something, is the bee that stung me when I was on my my little three-wheeler, my green machine, when I was a little kid. And it got on my shirt and stung me 7 times before the stinger fell out, and it couldn't escape. So is there a phobia for other things that can't escape? Because that scares me.
You just preempted my little story here.
Oh, I did.
So when I was about 14, I'm on vacation, summer vacation with my parents, and we grew up in southern tip of Texas. So driving anywhere in the western United States meant driving through Texas for 2 days before you got out of Texas.
Yeah.
And we're at a hotel right on the river, like Eagle Pass, Texas. We're in a hotel one night, and you know what you do on summer vacation when you're at a hotel? You go to the pool.
Yeah.
You check in and go to the pool. And so I'm splashing around in the pool, and my dad's having a beer.
Yeah.
And a bee came and lit on his beer can.
Ah!
And then went into the beer can.
Oh, no.
And was waiting. This. Yeah, it was waiting for my dad. There's a bee in there waiting. For my dad.
Wait, Randy, did you see this and didn't tell your dad? Because seeing a spider under a toilet.
Let me tell you what I saw. Let me tell you what I saw. Yeah. What I was talking to my mom, and I saw my dad reach over and pick up his beer can and bring it up to his face and then make movements that I didn't think were human. I've never seen a person gesticulate like this.
Oh, yeah.
He had at a second elbow suddenly.
Yeah.
Anyway, right. So this bee stings my dad right on the lip. Right there. Mm. Boom. Ouch. On the lip.
Mm.
And oh, he was so mad and so stomping around, and I want to kill every bee alive.
Yeah. Bees are bad.
Bees
are bad, yeah.
Here's the thing. Nothing about that situation, witnessing it myself, really scared me as much as some of the things in this movie. And I don't understand. I was reading that list. Snakes and spiders, 2 in 1, most common fears. Why are bees so friendlier? How is that possible that we're not as afraid of bees?
I'm afraid. I hate them. I dance around like
unless,
an idiot.
I think unless you have an allergy to bees, you're not going to die from a bee sting. Now, it's probably unlikely that you're going to die from a spider or a snake, but, you know.
Yeah, but if somebody handed you a can of beer and said, hey, Brian, guess what's in that can of beer? You'd say what? They'd say,
bees, millions of bees.
What if they said that to you?
I just slowly put it down.
Poison bees as you do poison spiders and poison snakes.
That's a good point. But then I also had a friend who, I've told you guys about this, I think on the show where I raised TMS, but I have a friend who had a small roach in Mississippi climb up his bum, his rectum, and plant an egg sac in there.
What?
And made him sick for months. Like, huh?
It sounds like crap.
No,
really? It really sounds like a made-up story.
It's true. I knew the guy, and I went and visited him in the hospital. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. He's so sick.
They couldn't figure out why the roaches were little baby roaches coming
out
of his
head. Nothing had hatched. Nothing had hatched.
I'm shitting roaches all day. I don't know what's wrong with
me. All it did was wedge in there, create an egg sac, and then leave. And it never hatched. So he went. They finally did a scope. Went in there. Went. Oh shit! He's got a bag of unborn roach babies.
Like one of those horrible urban legends you hear about, like the lady who buys the plant from Pier 1 Imports, and then all of a sudden, like, she's got it home a week, and this little hole opens up, and all these little spiders crawl out of it.
Oh, that's so gross. I mean, I've seen mother spiders poop out their eggs, or I've seen somebody kill a spider and then lift their foot, and now, you know, hundreds of spiders are fleeing for their baby lives. But yeah, this guy with the roach up his butt, that was rough. So whether or not it was ever a threat in the long term, he was fine after. They did a little quick endoscopy, or what do you call it, a bum scope thing, pulled it out.
Scope.
He was fine after that, but I can't see a roach in a show or in real life without thinking that could crawl up my butt and make a nest.
Ow.
Especially
how big does your butthole have to be to not realize
it was a little one? Crawling? Little tiny roach is all it takes. These little tiny house roaches to get in there. Wouldn't take that much to get in there.
That's your freaking.
I would feel anything that comes
maybe
up.
Maybe he's eating too many breadsticks.
How did Film Sack the episode become more of a freak out to me than the movie Arachnophobia?
We've gone down a real hole here.
I am standing right now on my toes. What the hell?
That's not good. You don't want that. Okay, got some trivia here for you. The giant spider used in the film is a species. This is the big mother spider. Not the robot one they would use sometimes, but the actual one that crawled around. Was a species of bird-eating tarantula, which gets to as big or if you stretch it out, 8-inch leg span or leg-to-leg span. These kinds
Look
of tarantulas, they're not easy to handle. They give a really bad bite, but the irony is the little ones that were all over the place that were the real trouble, they were harmless. They were these New Zealand things that don't hurt a flea. They can't hurt humans. They just look
Which
nasty.
Which is amazing to find a spider from that region of the world that is not that will not kill you right. in 0.8 seconds.
Right. And they were all worried about it. They had to have a professional, this guy named Stephen R. Kutcher, maybe Kutcher's uncle, who knows. But he had to come in and oversee it because the fear is that if you bring too many things from there, that they'll, you know, set up camp here, and now you've got a new species of spider in an ecosystem that's not used to it and kind of goof stuff up. So they had all this nervousness about that. But they're harmless. They don't hurt anybody.
But hey, you know, we got to make movies. We surely can put everybody.
Oh, let's put the whole, let's put the entire, everything at risk. It's a movie, damn it. They're making a movie. Let's see. The animatronic spider in the film's climax was one of the earliest prop jobs done by Mythbusters' Jamie Heineman.
Oh, wow. Yes. Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
I'm amazed at how many times they didn't feel like they needed to use that, right? I mean, there were a lot of times that they were able to wrangle these spiders into doing things that I was impressed that they could get a spider to do.
Yep.
Like the, Julian Sands holding the glass jar with the big spider in at the very beginning. And then almost on cue, it jumps, you know, finished delivering his line. And that makes the guy, you know, the dude behind him, Manly, pass out.
Right. My favorite part was where they had taught the spiders how to knit. And they were just knitting little.
Sitting there making little sweaters and stuff.
I'm a little cold. Yeah.
The I don't know why this is in here because it seemed obvious, but when John Goodman smushed the one spider, the Foley artist crushed a bag of potato chips to make that sound.
Right.
Yeah, it was so
You know,
obvious.
That was, I enjoyed that scene. I remember enjoying that scene even back at the theater because you've created all this tension that we create as humans, but then you forget, you know, we're like a million times bigger than these bugs. And lots of times the solution is just to step on it. You know, just go over and step on it and it's done.
Yeah.
Hey, it's not until you go to sleep or become less aware that suddenly a spider becomes just as deadly as anything.
And scary.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys like their use of the Family Ties license in the movie?
I love the Family Ties.
It made me want to watch Family Ties.
It kind of made me realize how
Doc,
much
I've got a spider crawling up my face.
I did not like Family Ties at the time.
Oh. You didn't like Family Ties?
No, I don't know what was wrong with me. I liked the sister. What was her name? Mallory.
Yeah, Justine Bateman.
Yeah, Mallory's hot. But other than that,
she's cute. She's good.
Didn't like that show.
You didn't
but
like Alex? You
I hated
didn't like...
it. I hated it. I didn't like any of that must-see TV garbage. I thought it was terrible. They were all there. There was no TV? Better than like Blossom or something. It's all just bad.
What's wrong with Blossom?
Blossom's terrible.
Yeah. No, it's not.
No, Scott's right. Scott is Blossom correct. Yeah.
How is Blossom good? That's the bigger question.
You can't put Family Ties in with Blossom.
I'm not saying you can. I'm saying that the structure, let's put it this way. Seinfeld changed everything for me for sitcoms because sitcoms went from this week on a very special episode of Blossom, you find out some friend's got AIDS or some dumb thing and the audience has to get all serious sometimes and the laughter is less or whatever. I hate that. Seinfeld taught me that, you know what? You're going to make a comedy? You make a comedy-ass comedy, man. It's comedy from wall
There's
to wall.
No
it's
very
never
special
serious.
Special episode of Seinfeld.
Never is there one like that.
This week on...
And I've decided why the final episode of Seinfeld bothered some people isn't because it wasn't good, because if you watch it now, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah,
it's that it was going away and everybody was feeling some melancholy about the show leaving. And that created a false sense of they were going Blossom on us. That's been my theory for years and I stick to it, damn it.
Going full on Blossom.
But this idea that you would do you know, if you're going to do a show, like Family Ties was all about that. It was all about, yeah. funny, Hanks. Alex is different.
He's their drunk uncle.
Yeah. And then, oh no, this is serious now. And Dad needs to have a real talk with Alex and they're going to come to an agreement. You know, I hate that
stuff.
Oh,
Alex is on drugs now. He's been taking no-dos to stay awake for tests.
Sure. But then I could watch something like, I don't know, for whatever reason, Cheers never struck me that way. It was always about a love life thing when they got serious, but it wasn't.
Sam Malone's alcohol problem. That was like the big reoccurring thing.
Yeah, but I didn't feel like I was being preached to. I feel like he was being preached to, but I wasn't in a way. It's right. About presentation. And these shows just were, it was like, all right, now we're going to patronize all of people at home and go, oh, now, Alex, I know you've got big plans for working on Wall Street one day, but you've learned a real lesson today. Haven't we all, audience? Like, you may as well have He-Man come out and give me a PSA about what he and She-Ra need to do to stop AIDS or
there
something.
There wasn't a very special episode of Cheers, was there? Frasier?
Not really, no.
They had plenty of opportunities for
Frasier
that.
Frasier was a very special episode of Frasier. Oh, my gosh.
But Frasier, at
every
least...
Every single episode was about him learning something about himself or his craft as a psychologist.
Yes, but it was never pandering. It was never...
Right. Maris is on drugs now, and now we've got to get Maris off drugs, even though we never see her.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. There's a very fine line, and it's one that Family Ties crossed constantly. And
Roz was slipped a roofie at a bar.
I don't think there's a fine line. I really don't. I think that there are shows like The Cosby Show and Family Ties and Modern Family, and there are shows like Cheers and Two and a Half Men and et cetera. And I don't see why they have to all be the same. They're
mutually
they're not. Yeah. They exist in different planes. I agree with you. But it's like what was that episode of Different Strokes where
the Maytag repairman fondled Arnold and Cousin Oliver in a bicycle shop?
It was a bicycle shop thing. And I remember watching that going, I know what they're trying to tell me. Molesters are bad. Kids should talk to adults when something's wrong. You should run. Like, don't take strangers from candy. I get the message, but even as a kid, I'm like,
don't take strangers from candy. This is right. That's so damn right. That is a weird thing to happen.
But it was so, I was so on the nose. It's like, all right, we get it. Go ahead and have it. And the audience would often go, oh.
Right.
Right. Because it wasn't a farce.
Yes, it was. It was the worst farce. It was a bigger farce than farce. Double-layered farce is what it was. It was terrible. Anyway, different place, different conversation. But this is one of those moments on FilmSack where I love the feedback. Send us your emails about what shows you think actually could do that and which ones couldn't. Anytime they do it, I was like, change the channel. I'd rather watch 50 episodes of Newhart before I'd watch one episode of Family Ties. There, I said it.
Ooh.
I know.
I'd watch both.
How many episodes of Family Ties before one episode of Blossom?
Oh gosh! Can I take Alf instead?
Blossom?
I'll do Alf. Blossom is a terrible television
Alf
show.
Alf is another good one.
Blossom is a terrible show.
Little Wonder. How many episodes of Little Wonder?
Gosh, the only good thing about Small Wonder. Small Wonder is that everyone thought the boy was Billy Corrigan as a child. That's the best thing about that.
Right. Just like that's Marilyn Manson was the Life cereal kid.
Yes. Mikey. He was Mikey on the Life cereal ads.
Right. Who died from eating Pop Rocks.
Yeah. Those falsehoods were better than their truthhoods.
That's so true. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, don't tell me you like Small Wonder, Randy. Come on now.
I don't know. I've never even heard of Small Wonder. I'm aghast.
Robot Blossom is what it was.
Yeah.
Right. Pretty much. Yeah.
All right. Blossom.
Robot Blossom.
Right. Fine. Yeah,
I'm fine with Randy liking Blossom.
Well, I'm fine with Randy liking anything.
I'm not down with Blossom.
But if the argument is Blossom good,
I'm going to stand up for Randy to like Blossom.
Right. Yeah, but you don't like Blossom either, though. But you would fight. You would die to make sure Randy had the right.
I would
to
die
like
for Randy's right.
My mouth is gaping open because you're comparing comedies to dramedies, and it's like, well, okay, so. Let's compare ER to
No, but those I mean, were our but those there's a distinct difference between say ER and Scrubs, for example. One is a comedy, one is definitely not a comedy.
It's drama.
But the dramedy thing is that's all we had. Like for a long time, that's all they gave us. So all
that's
I got was was Huxtable telling Cleo or Leo or Cleo.
That's not true. You're forgetting tons and tons of Roseanne's and all kinds of things that you maybe didn't watch as much.
I saw one Roseanne, I have to admit. Not that I didn't like it. I'm sure it was fine. I just never...
Well, what was your take on John Goodman then? Because was this the only John Goodman you got?
No. My John Goodman love is all about Coen Brothers movies.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Not King Ralph or nothing like that.
No, I like King Ralph.
Oh, listen, dude. You don't know what you're talking about, Donnie.
He's great in, I mean, yeah, 87 would have been Raising Arizona. I mean, I feel like my movie John Goodman was always more prominent for me than any TV John Goodman I ever got. Right. But anyway, he's good in this, I guess. He's a really good Bill Murray in this. It's fantastic as Bill Murray.
Yeah.
John Goodman as Bill Murray in an Arachnophobia.
Why is as comic relief, why wasn't he more comic and relieving? Didn't you feel like, wow, this isn't as funny as it should be, and it's not as different than the rest of it as it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a time. Go ahead. Yeah, the music. What is the band type that has a harmonica, a saxophone, and a pianist? What is, because every time he would come on, that was the music ensemble.
Children's folk songs.
Children's folk songs.
Yanni is basically.
Yanni, all right.
Yeah, that was an.
Raffi, not Yanni, Raffi.
That was a weird. Yeah, Yanni was more.
And flute.
Sure. That was really weird. I think I may have capped some of it because it really took me out of it. But that's, again, yeah. It was my complaint with The Firm, was an odd choice of music. But again, here we are, Hollywood Pictures, their first movie as Hollywood Pictures. That was the first time they did this. They want to go a little more adult. But at the same time, they want, you know, the family to go. They want your teenage kids to go with you. And I feel like that's why these things are kind of hard. They're trapped between these two places. Like, you can't really be too edgy, but you can be too saccharine for sure. And that music was saccharine as hell. Mm-hmm. Right. I hated it.
What did y'all think about the middle boob?
The middle boob?
Yeah, the daughter had the middle boob. She had a little bit of middle boob.
She didn't have any middle boob.
The spider when it was coming up. Yeah, coming down her.
Oh, there were two
in the shower.
Two boobs that it went down between.
Yeah, it went down the middle of the boobs. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Like opposed to side boob, middle boob.
Yeah, we thought you meant like the other, the like, total recall. Yeah.
No, she just had one middle boob. Just one. Yeah. No.
It makes me wish I had three hands.
Yeah, that grossed me out because that's gross to have a spider crawl down you like that.
Because when you're in the shower, you've got your eyes closed and water's hitting you, so you wouldn't ever, ever feel an insect hit you.
Yep. That was gross. I didn't like that at all. I thought that coach was going to die, by the way. I was a little surprised he didn't die.
I just really thought he was going to get a shat death because he was sitting down. I thought it was over for him.
Do we have I think we have a chick in the bucket. It's the evil guy. Well, he's evil in every other movie he's in, but in this one he was like the Sherpa, the head Sherpa that was talking in Spanish to the one guy. And he's always looks real sneaky.
Yeah. The translator.
Another guy who's in everything, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's
in
like
tons of stuff.
Wasn't he? I want to say he was in the Arnold Schwarzenegger True Lies.
Was he the bad guy in True Lies? He might have been
one of them. I'm trying to find. He's one of these guys.
He's not big enough to be a leading man in a movie like leading bad guy in a movie like that, is he?
Oh, I don't know. He could have been.
No, but
then
he was uncredited. I found him. I had to look him up because I was like, I know I've seen this guy. Juan Fernandez.
Oh yeah,
is the actor name.
The guy in True Lies is Grant Heslov, different dude. But okay. I know what you're saying.
Let's see. The Collector, and there's been stuff that we've definitely seen this guy in. Crocodile Dundee.
Ooh, A Man Apart. That was good.
The Collector. I love that movie.
Man Apart's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love Man Apart.
Executive Decision. He was the Linden Bomber.
It's like you're out of movie names when you start going Executive Decision. Just say it. The president makes a choice. Just come on.
I want to see A Man Apart
something.
Again.
Yeah, hey, Netflix buyer that's listening to us. Get A Man Apart streaming. I want to watch that movie again.
That movie's fun. I like that movie a lot. It's been long enough that I think I'd maybe even watch it here. It was really good.
It's a little sad, but for film sack.
Is it? It is. Yeah, he's a. But it's a revenge flick kind of ish. Man pushed so far, he has to do the deed. Jeez. It's like Unforgiven. It's that trope where you're dragged back into it, which I kind of like. If I'm going to be honest here.
Mm-hmm. Don't be honest.
By the way, Brian McNamara, who played Chris Collins in Arachnophobia, he's the intern or whatever that came to watch what was going on and was getting all verklempt in the operating room, was actually on that episode of Family Ties. entitled
interesting.
My Name is Alex, or A, My Name is Alex, from 1987. And that episode was playing in the background. So there's that.
That's funny. Well, he showed up to shoots. He showed up to the set that day with 11 copies in his trunk. So.
Right. Have you seen my Family Ties? Right. Have you seen it yet? Exactly. It's good. It's really good.
He's got like 7 Sharpies in his pocket. It's
amazing.
Sure.
It's amazing. All right. I got one. Here's one. I guess I kind of already mentioned this, but bring a dope on the trip, which is that dude at the beginning. Like, bring a guy who just totally doesn't belong and
Manly. And give him the name Manly. Oh,
right.
Oh,
yeah. Oh. You get it? Because he's not manly.
Right.
He screams like a girl.
Hey, that old lady that died early from the bite in her by her lamp.
Yeah.
She died just last year. She was 89 years old. Yeah.
Was it spider bite?
Has she just hung out with Jeff Daniels the day before?
No. No, but the townspeople are sure it was him. So
she just watched Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yeah.
That was weird seeing him constantly saying Lloyd to the sheriff.
Yes. Harry and Lloyd.
Totally, yeah.
Oh, right. Because of Dumb and Dumber, which would be, another 4 years for Jeff Daniels before he'd be in that?
Mm-hmm. Another 4 years.
Right. Another 5 years before he'd be in Speed. And then about a year after that, Jeff Daniels wasn't in anything important.
That was like the most heart-wrenching thing in Speed when Jeff Daniels died.
I know, that sucked. Killed him.
Yeah.
That totally
then he
sucked.
Took 20 years off and made Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yeah. Well, he made that. The Newsroom is really good. His performance is really good, great. Yeah, and it's funny that he kind of disappeared.
You can't forget Looper and.
Oh, the mob just boss like and Looper, dude. Shut up. You cannot. That movie's great. No?
I'm not going to. I don't want to argue it.
All right. Blossom versus Looper. Which way do you go?
I'm sorry. What did you say?
Blossom v. Looper. Which one do you pick?
What the hell?
What kind of choice is that?
Terrible one. That's the fun. That's the fun terrible. Of it. Listen, if you're on a desert island, all right, one of those questions. They say to you, you can have the entire run of Blossom or one copy of Looper. Which way do you go?
I'm not answering this.
Come
question.
On, which
really
way do you go?
Weird question.
But which way would you go? If it's a simple question. If somebody says you can have one or the other
question.
If someone says you can have one or the other, you gotta pick one, Brian. Pick one. Which one do you pick? It's all you're going to have for the rest of your life on that island.
I'm just going to choose to go blind.
So I'm waiting for Brian to answer.
Any of you.
Oh, you're asking me?
Any of you. I don't care.
Oh, I'm.
Hey, somebody answer the question. I answered it.
All right. Looper, Brian says.
For sure. Yeah.
All right.
Without a doubt.
Randy?
I don't know. I'm going to go with Blossom because I'll tell you, Looper's kind of like, has that Groundhog Day thing where it's like, yeah, you watched it once, but you felt like you watched it 12 times.
Right. I think Looper would drive me crazy over a long period of time. Yeah, admittedly, right. Blossom would too, but
Blossom would drive me crazy right off the bat.
Right away.
More hours of entertainment of different stories.
Yeah, but it has Joey in it.
I know.
That's a problem on my end of the book.
What?
Yeah,
one of you treats that like it's a benefit.
All right. Admittedly, it's a terrible question. It's kind of like saying, what should you rather have on a date? A third nipple or Danny DeVito? Congo. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, my nubbin?
Your nubbin. Oh, what?
My nubbin.
Hello. Nubbin.
Anything else about this movie before we do clips? Anything else? Ring your tickle, tickle your ring.
Ring your tickles. I'm gonna have to go. Yeah. That was actually something I wanted to talk about.
Was it the pudding coming out of the goo of the dead spider on the thing? Was it?
Yeah,
the,
pulsing. That was bad. That was very bad.
Was it him trying to kill his family by shooting nails through the floor and having her get down on all fours and get right up close to the nail, right where he might shoot another one?
Good that gosh, was fun. Lady. Actually, that made me squirm the first time.
Explain to me how those load-bearing beams are so rotten that nails fly right through them, but the house is standing?
Yeah, that didn't work.
that you can actually walk on that floor and not immediately go right through?
Well, right. Frank Marshall produced The Money Pit. Maybe he was just evoking some old Money Pit.
No, we briefly just touched on it, and I am shocked that Scott didn't have a freak out, but the old man's ugly feet. That didn't like give you the
like wings. Yeah. I didn't like those either. Yeah. I didn't like those
the
one
prosthetic,
bit.
Like when they switch out the prosthetic feet and the prosthetic Wheel of Fortune dude with the spider coming out.
Oh, right. Yeah, dude. And then Marble Rye telling him the floor is cold. Make sure you put your shoe on. And I'm like, no.
You killed him.
Yeah. She kind of did. And I just pictured her chasing after Jerry Seinfeld and him calling her an old bag as he ran down the street.
You know what? We could have just spent an hour just talking about things you shouldn't do if there's a spider waiting for you.
Yes, and like big webbed places, or putting your hand in a web, or any of that stuff. And that barn with the webs, and the rat, and the cat. There's a cat in that web.
Hey, all the stupid animals in this movie were stupid.
Oh yeah. Although
dogs,
there was
cats, you name it.
There was a trope of the evil detecting pet.
Oh, I love the evil detecting pet.
Yeah.
Those are great. They can sniff it out. They can always
That's
tell.
Right.
Right. No spider.
Yeah. If only you had paid attention to the evil detecting pet.
There's a really hard writer over there, Raggy.
All right. Well, let's get to the sound files. We've got a few of these here, and one is this one with something about football.
What's your specialty, Manly? Football.
Yeah, football.
Football.
I really don't like that British dude. What's his name? I know he's in lots of stuff now. What's his name? Ah, crap. Julian Sands.
Oh, Julian Sands.
And I cannot deal with his accent.
He's a little, if you want Sting, just get Sting.
Hello.
Right. He was in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Which one was he? Was he?
But he's so much cheaper than Sting, Brian.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. Maybe not now.
If you want Sting and you can't afford Sting.
Then you get Julian Sands, sure. Yeah.
The dude's in some serious movies, like The Killing Fields, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, A Room with a View, Leaving Las Vegas. Like, he's got a nice resume.
Oh, Julian Sands was in that?
All kinds of stuff.
And he doesn't have the perfect accent to affect the Cumberbatch results. Mm. Like, Cumberbatch is a weird, ugly dude, but man, his accent, ooh.
Yeah.
It just
knocks him up 11
drop.
Points.
Yeah.
Oh, he was Vladimir.
This guy, guy's accent isn't quite that.
No, he played a Russian dude in 24. That's where I think I first remember thinking he was Russian, because he looks like that kind of guy, right? He's like a Russian dude. Mm-hmm. But he's in all sorts of stuff. Everything. Stargate Connection. okay. Well, let's move on. We got one here about, this is running into a web and making this sound. Jeez, that's a little overdoing it.
Right. First thing, if you're running into a spider web, don't drop to the ground. You're just putting the spider on equal footing.
Well, when he first ran in, he went like, that's what he did. He made a little fart.
That also reminded me of a trope
that was
happening.
What's that?
If you lay any clothes down the rainforest for like 5 seconds, immediately it will be covered by any myriad of exotic insects.
Yeah, right? And you got to brush them off your hat and all that. I hate that. It's gross. Yeah, like everyone worries about the Indiana Jones scene with the snakes, or at least Indiana Jones does. Right. I worry about brushing spiders off your back or being stuck in a room full of bugs and weevils. Like, both of those things in those Indiana Jones movies just put me over the edge. Yeah, do you remember there were like worms and weevils and centipedes? Yeah, yeah. Like a centipede crawling inside of a skeleton's mouth, like a big enough centipede to do that. Right. Kiss me goodnight and I'm out. I'm off this planet. I'm done. I'm out.
Now, Scott, do you ever go running early enough in the morning to run through spider webs?
Yes, especially there's a place around here. Part of the path I take to get to the lake has like these tunnels, and in there are some of the biggest, grossest spiders I've ever seen, and they create crazy webs. So yes, I have run like smack dab into your face, and I always go like that when I do it.
So in my neighborhood, I've got the old Iranian smoking man.
Yeah,
I think I've told you about him. He lives in a retirement community where he's the youngest person in the retirement community by like 20 years.
He's a life trope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the retirement community is on one end of the neighborhood, and the shopping center with the grocery store and the CVS and the Starbucks is on the other end. So he, every morning, he walks about a mile from retirement community over to like
the Starbucks
area.
Bitching the entire way, right? Complaining.
And complaining and smoking. And he's one of these people who smokes like
right
as they go. So I get up and go running. The sun's not even up yet. I hate it because I'm constantly on the lookout for spiders. I've actually thought about carrying a little flashlight, like a headlamp.
So hey, just run with a broomstick. That's what I do, is run with a broomstick in front of you.
Just carry it in front of you like you're chasing invisible ghosts.
That's awesome.
So this dude does the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm running along, and way out in front of me, he's headed toward me. He's walking, and he's doing that smoking thing, and there's a spider web in front of him that he notices right before he gets to it, and he takes this cigarette with a 2-inch long cherry and just touches it in the perfect spot to the spider web and the spider web just vanishes.
Wow.
It's amazing how that spider web
now you understand his smoking.
Yes, I do.
Right. That's really cool, man. I think that's cool. Except for the web part and the spider part, but the what he did to it.
And the smoking part.
That's intense.
Other than that,
yeah,
it's a great story.
I would have still gone. All right. Next up, I would like to rate this next sound as one of the highest annoyance factor sounds we've done on the show. We always look for these, you know, there's a weird sound in a movie that just annoys us. Here's a good one. I hated that thing.
I did too. Is that the motorboat
that took the body away?
No, that's the thing. They were.
It was a smoker, right?
It was the smoker for the trees.
Right, yeah.
Where they killed an entire generation of butterflies by accident.
Bucket of butterflies, man. Later on,
they just stunned them.
Ugh, just listen to that.
Growing up in the Rio Grande Delta, that it was really common to drive around a truck with a thing like that on the back of it to try to kill mosquitoes.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Insects of all sorts. My problem when I spent time in the South were these things they called mater bugs, and they called them mater bugs because they would mate a certain time of year and they would do it midair and fly the whole time. So by themselves, they were fast and agile, and they would get out of your way if you're on a bike or something. They'd fly out of the way when they were mating season.
It's kind of long, like a dragonfly.
Kind of, but when they would mate, they became double long and weighed twice as much and got super slow because they were copulating in the air. Yeah, and they would just kind of hover. And if you were coming toward them, you can hear them almost going, "I'm really enjoying this sex, but we got to get out of the way." And then they'd be down my throat because they wouldn't move.
Down your throat, having sex.
Oh, I've eaten so many of those mating bugs. I can't even tell you. I probably have given birth to
miter bugs.
Miter bugs.
This episode has more better stories.
It does. All right, here's a neat trick with the music, which I actually thought was cool at the beginning. Okay, so it's super tense, and then look what they do to it. See that? How they did that?
That was coming into... to the town, right?
Yeah. When they're driving,
following the hearse.
It went from
the dangers of Venezuela to the.
Yeah, that was it.
And they so you're saying you liked that because it sounded all right. A little Family Ties.
Oh no! You're wrong. You're not wrong about the kind of music it is. I just thought it was a neat transition trick. Like I kind of went.
Wasn't that Blossom's intro music?
May as well have been. Fucking hated that show.
One of her friends is cutting herself on this episode.
It's a serious topic. Don't get me wrong. I don't need Blossom to shove it down my throat.
I'm getting you wrong.
All right. That's fine. How about
Well,
this
you
one?
Know what, Scott? Maybe what? If you weren't 34 when you were watching Blossom for the
wasn't,
first time.
I wasn't.
It would have been a different take.
When did Blossom come out? Let's find this out right now. Blossom.
96 or something.
I'm
going to
guess 91.
So I was probably like 21, 22. I was, you know.
Yeah, that you were not even close to the target demographic at that point.
Clearly
Scott.
Not. Oh, 1990. Here you go is when it started. It ran until...
Music.
Hold on. 5 seasons, so ran until 1995, and it sucked. All right, moving on.
Just
to...
making a note for a film sack next week. Give Scott a chance to trash My So-Called Life. Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Ooh, I love that show. I love that show.
I'm so confused right now.
That show. What you're telling me? That's like Blossom. That is nothing like Blossom. Not even close. I like that show a lot. Claire Danes all the way. All right. Here's your what's this? Oh, this is your smell that air.
Oh, Ross, smell that air.
Oh.
I just imagine
the no cover sneeze.
Yeah. They should have put that in there. Oh, that smell that air.
Oh, Ross, smell that air.
All right, keep it to yourself, lady.
That really does sound like a clip from Friends.
This one?
It does.
Oh, Ross, smell that air.
Oh, that good. That's
even
Jennifer
sounds
Aniston.
Like Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah. It
does. Weird. Weird. That's weird. All right, you're in the country now.
Dad!
What? What's wrong?
I'm with a box. It's a spider.
A spider? Okay.
It came at me. It was ugly. Bigger than this.
Okay, all right, calm down. Just, you're in the country now.
Easy, boy.
You're in the country now.
You're in the country now. All right, here's some old people, and it's long. So here you go.
Oh, this brings back memories. Right after the war, when I moved to Canaima, the whole town threw me a party.
No, Sam, you threw yourself a party.
Now that was a party.
Now that is a jerk.
Yeah, that's a jerk. Now hold on a minute. That guy's not still alive, is he?
No, he died like 99. He died like in 99. I looked it up. I was curious.
Henry Jones died 99. You're right. Age of 86. And
was a dog, Indiana.
He's mostly known... Where, sorry, screwed me up. He's known mostly for Westerns and then guest appearances on things like Fantasy Island and Quincy and...
Quincy.
And, yeah, Falcon Crest, that kind of stuff. We're real big on that. All right. Where are we now? Oh, here you go. Here's a Baptist joke.
Nepotism, huh?
Actually, we're Baptists.
That's
Meh,
funny.
Get it? Meh.
Yeah, they're so close-minded they don't know there's not a religion called nepotism. That's funny.
Nepotism, huh?
I don't like the way she said that either.
Nepotism, huh?
Here's this guy's a genius.
He was a scientist.
Photographer.
A photographer. Yeah, he was on a scientific expedition down in Venezuela.
Yeah, you need help with Venezuela, dude. Venezuela. He got almost all done with the word, and they needed help. Venice.
Venezuela is only like one syllable away from Venezuela.
I know. He's so dumb. And not only that, you can't get a photographer and a scientist. It's killing me. A guy killed me. He should have died in his blanket with his woman. All right, here's another one. Yelling time.
You'd better learn to be sensitive to the feelings of the good people
here.
I'm sorry,
I'm more interested in medicine than public relations. You know, cardiac victims don't usually bite their tongues off, doctor. It's as though she went into tetanic convulsions. Now, until I know why, this case isn't closed.
You're damn right it's not closed. I believe you may be guilty of medical malpractice.
Now, tetanic convulsions.
Tetanic.
I'm flying, Jack.
That's
I'm
funny.
I'm going into tetanic convulsions.
That's funny because they use that term in a comic I was reading last night, and it just hit me that they were describing the same thing, and they called it tet. Like if you had tet poisoning, it was a poison that made you go into unstoppable convulsions, and there was nothing that could calm you down. And it's a Batman comic, for heaven's sakes. Anyway, weird. All right,
Jack Daniels really enunciated it too, boy. I mean, he just went all out.
Yeah, you can always tell when people really don't know what they're talking about when they enunciate their lines like that. It's like they had to practice it. That was like the eighth take. Finally got it right.
Just say it.
Yeah. All right, here's your... I don't know what this is.
You're damn right it's not closed.
Oh, that guy.
Now that I hear that, it sounds dubbed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally does.
You're damn right it's not closed.
All right. This one.
Tear out bad wood. Put in good wood.
Oh.
Whoa.
Actually, that is one of the better lines of the whole movie.
Yeah, it kind of is. He's steaming.
But it did feel like they were trying to set up with... Oh, this is going to be the quoted line. Oh, I'm bad. Oh, everyone's going to be talking about that line. Or
that's right, I'm bad.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you could tell lines that they thought were going to be the next Ghostbusters.
It was. It was actually, I believe it was in the trailer because I remember seeing it actually worked. It was.
I'd take John Goodman as a Ghostbuster.
Oh, yes.
Sure.
He'd be great. Yeah. Of all of these Ghostbuster ideas, that's a good one.
That's not bad.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's
better than Sheila Booth.
Yeah.
Next generation.
Is that happening? That better
not
happen.
No. It was an all women Ghostbusters rumor for a while.
Oh, right.
Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, and.
Oh, I guess the rumor
Anna
was.
Ferris.
I guess the rumor was
and
LaBeouf.
Maya Rudolph.
Oh, yeah. Maya Rudolph,
yeah.
Right.
Oh, jeez.
But I had heard there was some rumor that they were going to put LaBeouf in the Indiana Jones 5 and that he's going to be the new Indiana Jones. I mean, he was in the old. I guess he was his son, right?
Yeah.
Him and Marion. What a terrible movie. We watched it in Vegas. Did I tell you that? We tried to watch it in Vegas. They had it was late at night. They had a marathon in the hotel going of all the movies, and we watched one through.
You thought that would make Vegas better?
Well, the 1 through 3 made it good. Then that one started, and I thought, well, we're here. You know, let's see if it's as terrible as the time I was in the theater.
Because, you know,
so
he had
bad.
Nothing to do outside the room.
Well,
well, it's true.
It was one of the later days, and we were tired. But it sucked. It sucks. That movie sucks. It's so
agreed.
Bad. All right, there we go. The blossom of the Indiana Jones films, clearly. Crystal Skull. All right. Up next, we have this. Wait. Nope. This.
Shitty pad.
I heard that, McGrath. What are you, some kind of garbage mouth? Hit the showers.
All right. There's that.
Garbage mouth.
He's a pretty good small town coach trope, that guy.
Yeah.
He fit that pretty well. Here's this.
Benny Beachwood says that everybody's calling you Dr. Death.
Well, that's just silly, Shelley.
Yeah, kids don't think like that.
It's dead shit.
All right, there you go. He's a garbage mouth. All right, here's the new one. A Goodman one.
He permanently lost control of all of his bodily functions. There's no spider here.
Come on, you gotta like it.
I love that. That was like, that just that timing was perfect.
He was good. Spider here. He was good. I see all the comparisons to Caddyshack.
There's clearly no spider here.
Yeah.
There's a gopher, though.
All right, Goodman helps is what this says. Goodman helps.
The whole time the nest was in my own goddamn barn.
I doubt that, Doc. Your basic spider would find your old barn a tad breezy this time of year.
He's really doing it. He's channeling it hard. Oh,
yeah. I don't even know what he said.
Yeah.
He's just mumbling like Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm. He kind of had his pest control truck gave me a King of the Hill vibe with, who's the pest control
guy?
Dale's truck. Right. Dale's. Even had like a Dale looking guy on the side. That was great.
I wonder if there's a thing there. Like maybe Dale is a little bit of a borrow from this.
Could have been, maybe. I heard an interview on Mark Maron's show with the creator of all that.
Mike Judge
sounds like the nicest guy in Hollywood. Like truly, the straight up nicest guy ever. I've never heard a more like humbly sounding dude. And I really admire that guy. Anyway, all right, here's your spot. Okay, this cracked me up because I don't know if they meant for the lyrics to match. You guys tell me, but the song and the closing credits that straddled the 80s and 90s so well, I think it was singing from the spider's perspective.
Gosh, you think it that Jimmy was, Buffett tune?
You think Jimmy Buffett was commissioned to do a song about the movie? Okay.
Maybe, but here.
Don't bug me. Don't bug me. I'm better left alone.
Don't burn me. It's either don't burn me or don't bug me.
Don't bug me.
Don't bug me.
Don't bug me.
Yes, he was absolutely commissioned to do that for the film.
But why, at least with like the Batman Prince thing, you know what I mean? Like, why you have to be exactly on the nose? It's like the Turtles rap. Like, you can be a little ambiguous with your song, not just don't bug me, I'm better off left alone. You know, like the spider in the movie you just watched.
But he's not a bug, he's arachnid. That's terrible. No, our whole thing fell apart.
That's terrible. I didn't know that was Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah,
you didn't.
No.
Oh wow,
I'm not a big Buffett buff.
It did make me laugh though because it did make me laugh because I was listening to the song, sorta, you know, and I was getting the vibe of the song, and then I realized they were singing from the spider's perspective, so they did fool me a little bit.
Yeah. Well, here's some cutting room.
I want to ask Scott Johnson a quick question. Name your favorite Jimmy Buffett song since you don't know Jimmy Buffett.
I think the only one did he do the Margaritaville song? Yes.
Margaritaville, that's a good one.
Did he do Margaritaville?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Now
him
the
very
question
well.
Is, can
did
Scott Wright Johnson
said Fred, did they do that I'm Too Sexy song?
I would like to know if Scott can name one more Jimmy Buffett song.
Okay, hold on. Did he do Chevy did to the do, levee when the do, levee was do. Dry, that one? Did
you do which one?
The levee is dry, Chevy to the levee.
Oh my God, really?
I don't know. Who is, what else? Give me another one.
The McLean, American Pie is what you're crediting to Jimmy Buffett?
Yes. Yes. I don't
Maybe
know.
Cheeseburger in Paradise. How about
I don't know that one.
Changes in Latitude?
Don't know
Changes
that one.
In Attitude. Come Monday.
Don't know that
Come
one.
Monday, Scott.
I don't know.
Volcano.
Don't know that.
Pirate Looks at 40.
I had no idea.
Son of a sailor.
Here's
son of a son of a sailor.
Son of a son of a sailor. Son of a son of a sailor.
Okay.
I got a question for you guys.
Okay,
nicely
right
recorded there.
somebody's got did one of their TV.
Hey, God, the radio finally is playing the song I requested.
I got a question for you guys. Is this just uniquely in where I live at in South Carolina? There's a whole subculture of Jimmy Buffett. Is that true in every?
Southeast.
Is that everywhere? This is okay.
No,
good.
You just get some ancillary stuff because it leaks out from Florida.
I don't get it's any horrible. Of that here. I don't think Jimmy Buffett scales. Well, whatever. I'm sure he does for
the
somebody.
Closest,
I just
the closest Scott and I get is Margaritaville in Vegas, where as you walk by, you hear eight of the songs we just mentioned.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, that's
people,
true.
People live the life of the Jimmy Buffett
of
songs
a parrot here. Head. Yes.
Yeah. That's weird.
Parrot heads really are what make me dislike Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
Got
I used to like Jimmy Buffett. And then I met my girlfriend's parents were parrot heads. And that Catherine, oh God, what was her last name? Anyway, Catherine's parents were parrot heads. And it turned me off from the whole Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
The whole
lifestyle,
scene.
Music.
That's how I am. And I hate if anybody's listening to their parrot head.
We support you. We love you.
Good on you. Good on you. I can't believe how many songs the man has recorded. That's what I can't believe.
Sure.
Because if you go eat at Cheeseburger in Paradise in Lahaina, Maui, that's a restaurant. you will hear Jimmy Buffett songs. You could sit there 4 hours, never hear the same song twice.
Here's let me clarify, Randy. He's written one song, but he's changed the lyrics and the music every single time.
Yeah.
I'm drunk. I'm on the beach. Life is sure nice, but boy, if there was a nice woman by my side, and by the way, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
And let what me tell you about like my potato boat. Chips.
What smells? That's like, awesome.
Let me tell you about my boat.
Right. And the life of living on the sea is tough on here on the beach.
Right. Did he make burritos, or am I thinking of Jimmy Dean's who I'm thinking of? Never mind.
Oh my God.
There was a musician who made burritos and like breakfast meat. And it was Jimmy Dean, right? Was it Jimmy Dean a singer?
Does make, Jimmy though? Dean is a brand.
Yeah,
of,
but a, yes. not a musician.
He's a singer. He's an actor.
Well, there was a singer who did the commercials.
Singer. I want to say it's all based on him. Yeah, Jimmy Dean. Here he is. Jimmy Dean, country music singer. There's probably something about his other businesses. And I think that movie, that food is his, like business career. Here we go.
He found it.
Yeah, here you go. Here, I'm gonna blow your minds. In 1969, Jimmy Dean, again, famous country singer, founded the Jimmy Dean Sausage Company with his brother Don. Company did well. They made burritos and all other kind of crap, says here.
Jimmy Dean is huge around here as well.
It's the same guy. It's like Paul Newman's own brand. The same idea.
Wow.
Except Paul Newman gives all of his money away.
You thought there were two different Jimmy Deans?
I thought there were two different.
Well, there's a ton of them. There's so many people named James Dean.
Well, sure.
Oh, James, that's true.
Jimmy James.
Whole different person.
All right. Where are we here? Oh, here's some cutting room floor stuff. This was Tom Cruise, but his whole scene got cut. All right. But this was originally Tom Cruise's part, and he yelled this.
Help! Help! It's happening!
All right. Moving on to the the final checklist here. Not final. Today's checklist. Popcorn spider, check. Nostril spider, check. Pudding guts in the spider, check. Good deal. All those things are there. That's good because the checklist needed it. Here we go. The Star Trek stuff. Roy Brocksmith. He played Irv Kendall. And TNG played Zach Dorn.
That guy's teaching me to play guitar.
Oh, very nice. Irv Kendall.
No, Roy Rocksmith.
Oh, Rocksmith. There's a game. There's a game. DS9, he played a Bajoran. So there's that. Mark L. Taylor, guy we talked about before, was indeed in TNG. He also played a dude in Voyager, two different guys. And then Brian McNamara, who plays Chris Collins in Voyager, he played Lieutenant William Chapman in the episode Someone to Watch Over Me, and I remember that very distinctly. Mm-hmm. Soundtrack grade, I'd give it an HDHT for half Disney, half tense.
Interesting.
That's about how it felt, anyways.
I thought it fit the movie, except the nonsense when ever John Goodman was around.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Pretty bad.
Harmonica saxophone, as I call it.
Didn't fit. All right, well, saxophone. Let's do the 140 character Twitter post that you guys are so fond of doing at the end of every episode. Let's begin this week, as always, with Randy.
Arachnophobia. Nope. 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 Nope.
A lot of nopes. Nope. Now Brian Dunaway.
Arachnophobia, like walking into a spider web and then running a banana out when you meant to run a banana split.
Oh, I'm doing this. There you go.
What is a banana out? I'm totally.
I don't know. That is a football term I have never heard.
I mean, isn't that when you accidentally pull your pants down and you're still running? Isn't that banana out?
Banana out.
Banana
sure.
out. Wow.
Banana's out.
Share yours with us now, Brian Ibbett.
Arachnophobia. Where can I get some silly jaunty music to play every time I show up?
Hey, we can do that for you. Let's come up with something.
SoundCloud.
Every time you come in, let's see here. It'll say.
Brian makes a point.
It's not really
good
a song.
Enough. Good
but,
enough.
It'll work. Alternate titles. These just handed to me. Hold on. Here we go. Oh, look at this. Right here in my hand. Oh, that's the wrong thing. There we go. Here's your alternate titles. Caddyshack called and wants their groundskeeper back. Or Nostril Spider.
Do you suppose that he actually had a spider crawling?
No,
his
that
face?
Was a. You could tell. You could tell that was fake. Yeah, that was.
It was
not
a
him.
Big rubbery fake head.
Mm-hmm. It was cool looking for a fake head.
See, but. I was looking for the fake spider, so I was psyched out because it was a fake head.
No, I think that's what you did. What they wanted you to do, and right. I kind of still did. It didn't matter if it was fake head or not. I was still like, ugh, I don't care. Nostril spider, bad. Emails. We got emails. They're good. One from Matt Ray, who wrote in and says, great show as always, guys. I'm really excited to hear the Masters of the Universe 2. I mean, Cyborg, and especially Night of the Creeps that are going to be sacked in the near future. Number one, hearing Scott talk about old lady Triplehorn, it made me wonder, this was in our last episode, wonder if the reason he thought the name sounded like an old lady was because he was confusing it with Jeannie Triplehorn with Jean Stapleton as a.k.a. Edith Bunker. That's entirely possible that I have those two ladies mixed up.
Triplehorn and Stapleton, I mean.
But the Jean part. Like, so if you say Jeannie Triplehorn or Jean Stapleton, those sound like two girls that went to the same high school in 1931.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, they both sound old to me.
Hey, remember when she got raped that one time?
Whoa.
On a very special episode of All in the Family?
Yep. That happened?
Archie, I think somebody slipped me a roofie.
Did that not happen? What?
Hey, that happened.
There was an episode where she got raped.
Yeah,
that was a wild episode.
That's terrible. They really did that?
Oh, yeah.
Did it turn out to be George Jefferson and that's why he left?
Exactly, it was. That's why he had to move on up. That's why he had to get out of town.
That's terrible.
Come on, Lizzie, we're getting out of town.
We're out of here. We're moving on up.
Moving on up. All right. Let's see.
You're like the meathead, Dad.
You do a really good Archie. That's awesome. Why haven't we invoked that before? That's really good. All right. Second of all, as for the discussion of alternate universes and Raiders of the Lost Ark, had Indy not been asked to find the Ark, Tot would have retired the headpiece to the staff of Ra instead of having only one side burn into his hand. Is that his name, Tot?
Yeah, Tot.
Okay. The side that burned into his hand did not have the staff's measurement, which means without Indy, Belloc would have, the Balrog would have had all the information from the headpiece to find the Well of Souls in the map room in Tanis as opposed to randomly digging in the desert. Great. Keep up the great work, Matt Ray. Yeah. Whatever. I still say.
I agree. That's where I think where it would fall apart without Indy.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean,
that area.
That Marion would have been killed, and that's the end of it.
That's the end of your movie. Yeah. There would have been, close your eyes, Marion. That wouldn't happen.
Right.
Well, maybe they just would have tortured her, and she just stayed there. You know?
I think the question was, would it impact the rest of the world, was the original question. Sure. Would it?
Oh.
Well, okay. Indy and Marion were there to get the Ark back somewhere else, like get it back, you know. Otherwise, it'd still be sitting in the desert, and everybody who stumbles upon it would lift up the lid, and then melt into.
Yeah, and then the next moron would come up and do the same.
Exactly.
Thing.
They'd see pretty angel ladies, and then they would turn to skeleton ladies.
It's beautiful.
Oh, that movie. I'm going to watch it right now. Still, I think of the perfect movie. I love it. Final email from my good buddy I went to high school with. His name is Mark Larson. Wrote in, says, okay, time for Mark's commenting on something again. Voice modulation is vital for any superhero because your voice is one of the most recognizable things about someone. This is about, we were talking about Batman and why he had to go so low and guttural.
Yeah.
I don't know how you modulate your voice as a masculine guy other than going gravelly voiced. What I don't understand is why Batman talked that way while in the suit to those who he knew and that knew who he was. That's a really good point.
Did he really? He
talks to Commissioner Gordon like that all the time.
Yeah, talked to Gordon like that. He talked to his butler like that. He talked to somebody else who knew. I forget
now. I'm just picturing the superhero that has to go, hi, I'm here to save the day. Hello. Hi.
Thanks, Mickey.
You guys need some help.
Uh-huh. Hello.
All right. Our next movie is Phase 4. I don't know what this is. I have no idea.
Another insect movie. We're doing two in a row.
Oh, no. What is it? Tell me. What bugs am I going to get bugged by?
Bugs.
Okay. Just bugs. That's it.
It looks like mainly ants, but I haven't watched the movie yet.
Is this phase four is in part four of the phase series, or is it phase four in Roman numeral? Phase four.
It's Roman, in Roman numerals. Yeah.
All
right. And if the spider crawling out of the guy's nose bothered you, look for the movie poster for this one, which actually has an ant crawling out of some guy's hand.
Oh,
nice.
There you go. It's in Skype for you right there.
It's a big one, too.
And in case you don't play Googling, there you go.
Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah, well, look at the one, by the way, while you're in the Skype thing, check out the thing I put earlier.
That's from Shark.
Yeah,
Nier,
I love the split.
Piranha. Yeah, piranha. Gross. Yeah.
My body. Oh.
Yeah, I don't like the ant there. I don't like that. Not a fan of that. So this will be fun. This is a 1974 film. It's old.
Yep. Perfect. Beyond that, we're going to play it week by week. Netflix has been losing and regaining things so fast lately that we don't want to name too many movies. We'll let you know next week what's after that.
I agree with that. By the way, the motto for Phase 4 is "The day the Earth was turned into a cemetery," or "When you can't scream anymore." So phase four, when you can't scream anymore. That's ridiculous.
Oh, wow. And this was rebooted in 2002. Now, are we watching the
old one?
We're watching the 1971.
Okay. All right.
Oh, there is a new one. Look at that.
Yeah. What's I want to confirm something while we're talking about it. So we all got Major League this week.
Oh yes,
yes. Yeah.
Submitted by a listener. Thank you, listener.
Yeah,
I don't. Are we supposed to sack that? Because I don't want to.
Yeah, no, we are, and we've talked about doing it before.
Our deal. If they send it to us, we have to sack it.
Well, back when it was on Netflix, we planned to, but it got yanked, and so we never did. And I think that's the plan. I think that's what's going on. I want to see if the names.
That's going to be a. Thank you very much, but that's going to be a weird episode of Film Sack.
When was the last time you saw Major League?
It doesn't matter. I've seen it 100 times.
He loves that movie.
I could sit and recite every line in every.
It's like your favorite movie, right? I mean, like one of them.
I don't know. It's like my Waterworld. I don't know that it's my favorite. Mm. You know?
I think you'll be able to attack it from how the actors have changed over the years. Yeah. I think there'll be something there.
Speaking of
thank you, Kurt Ockberger, by the way.
Yeah, Kurt Ockberger. That's it.
Sending that over to us.
The Charlie Sheen jokes alone.
Thank you for the movie, Kurt Ockberger. Yeah.
Kurt Ockberger.
It'll be our first Charlie Sheen movie.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We had to go outside of a streaming service.
We had many almosts.
Yeah. Why is he not streaming nearly anything he does? Isn't that weird? A little weird.
Have to resort to watching Anger Management.
Oh, gosh. Let's not. That's our next movie. We're excited to be here. Thank you all for joining us. It's filmsack.com. That's where you go to find us on the web. You can also leave comments in the blog. We love that. Lots of great interactions happen every week there. You can email us filmsack@gmail.com on Twitter. You can find us at filmsack. You can also find us individually. You may as well mention that once in a while. The Brian Dunaway. We have Randy Deluxe for Randy. You have Coverville for Brian, and you have me for Scott Johnson. Meefer. That's what I said. That's right. I said Meefer. Leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever podcasts are found. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. Mm-hmm. We'll see you next time.
Nope. On a sandwich. Nope. In an autopsy. Nope.
Gross.
Visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Hey, fellers and ladies, don't forget, if you want to support FilmSack and other great content on the Frog Pants Network, there really is a great way to do it now, and that is to go to patreon.com/frogpants. People are always asking, how can I help the show? That's a great way to do it. Even for tiny bits of money, let's say $1 a month. I mean, imagine how few things in this world you can pay $1 a month for and get tons of it. Well, this is one of those things. Give what you can. Patreon.com/frogpants.